Look at that. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get.
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yo, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big ol' Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IRC channel is a linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1024 of the Linksling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
No, I'm doing good, senor.
And we have Dave.
Hello.
And Dave, come on. We should change your name to Jim, so it's just like Joel, Joe, Jim. How about
Jimbo.
That?
Jimbo.
Jimbo, that's
I thought that. His name was Dave 68.
Well... That's on the other. That's on the after show when the sexy comes out. Today was the day, man. Today was the sad day where after, oh my goodness, almost a decade, Couchbase, I deleted it. The clusters today, down they went. All those hours of work gone in like 2 minutes. And I just deleted.
Isn't that usually how it is?
Yeah, and I think that about closes the chapter for me with Couchbase, I think, for good. Oh my goodness. I'm thinking, I don't think, I'm trying to remember the time on this. Last week, I do believe I was saying I was having issues with the external storage, correct? And I never talked about the resolution or the almost resolution, the issues I've been having with storage. So, yeah, last week, it was a user error on the Linux system that I was had it plugged into my USB port, but I was SSH'd into a different system and it wasn't showing up in the system I was SSH'd into, obviously, because it's not plugged into it. So like an idiot, I was tearing my hair out with that. But finally, after I realized my mistake, not a problem, man, not a problem getting it set up with XFAT, EXFAT, file system works perfectly. So the next day, I went upstairs with it formatted under XFAT, plugged it into the Apple, and it still wasn't showing up. So I started doing some looking around. Now, it wasn't showing up in disk utility or anything. Like, I would run dmessage, it would not even show that it was even seeing the device being plugged in. So I was going out looking around and I started seeing a lot of posts from people who were complaining that they had a USB hub. And ever since they were using Monterey, upgraded to Monterey, the USB hub stopped working for external storage devices for some reason. And there was just list and page of people all complaining. And I was like, well, I guess maybe that's my problem. It's just a issue with Monterey. And we're like, what, 2-3 versions now behind where OS X is because it hasn't been approved or whatever. Well, I didn't know it hadn't been approved. So what I said at our stand-up, I mentioned my problem, and I said, you know, is anybody using – is it Big Sur, the latest version or whatever? Or the
Ventura. Sorry, No. Sonoma.
Yeah, Sonoma. So I thought Monterey was the version before
it's
Sonoma.
Pretty old.
But it's not. There's what, Monterey, Ventura, then Sonoma, I think.
Correct.
Or
yeah.
Maybe, yeah. So I had asked whether anybody else had put Sonoma or even Ventura on their system. Were they having any issues? Because still at that time last week, there was the possibility that I may have to be using Chef SDK and some other things that might be a little challenging to get on there. But I was told that it hasn't been improved, so you're not going to be able to get it downloaded on there. But then somebody has said, are you sure it's not being blocked by the security policy? And I was like, why would it be blocked by the security policy? Because I don't think I ever had a problem before plugging in external like SD cards or anything. But sure enough, I opened up what is Sentinel 1 or whatever the hell it has in there, and there's a whole bunch of messages about the device that's plugged in being blocked due to a security issue. So I had to open up a ticket in ServiceNow. That was a fiasco, Joel. I'll tell you, that was a freaking fiasco. Because they don't allow you to open a ticket. They have these interfaces in front of ServiceNow that you choose the issue that you're having or want to solve. Like, it's like, oh, I need a new account created, or I need to give permissions to this user, or I need to have account deleted. And I look through all these things, and not one of them, like, really address the issue that I needed. So I didn't know, like, what it is I was supposed to use. But then I found the knowledge base article that said if you need access, click this and fill out the form to get access. And I filled out the form, and this was Thursday. And I filled it out, and I never got an email response. So I don't know whether it did anything. So I had kept the page open, and then I saw it open to ServiceNow ticket, and I was able to find the ServiceNow ticket. And then I waited, and then I guess I put in a message and said, what's the deal with this? And the person who picked it up said, oh, I'm going to talk about it with our stand-up tomorrow, security stand-up, to see about that. And that was Friday, and still nothing's been done, right? So I haven't been able to slap it on my system. So since nothing was done on Friday, I was like, to hell with it. I just went downstairs. I installed Google SDK on my Arch Manjaro system over here, plugged the drive in there, and started the rsync over from the storage that we have up there. Not the archive storage, but the nearline storage. And I let it go since Friday night, I think it was. No, maybe it was Saturday sometime. I don't know. One of those two. And it's still going. And it's dog freaking slow. It's terrible. I got 4.5 terabytes, and I think I'm only at 400 gigs right now. So I'm just letting it go. I don't care at this point, because to start it over is going to be such a pain in the ass. So I'll just let it go. It doesn't seem to be consuming up a lot of bandwidth, and it shouldn't be, for how slow it's running. So I'm just going to let it go. And we'll see. In 999 hours or so, when it says it's going to be finished, there we go. What's 999 hours? A year? 2 years? I don't know.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So that's there. So the only thing I had to retain on the with the Couchbase stuff yet, the things that's left lingering, is we have two backup servers, one in the east, one in the west, because we had an east and west cluster. The west backup server, I took on Monday. I made sure that there was the final backups were all there. There's a full backup from Saturday, and then there was a incremental backup from Monday morning. So I stopped the backups because we don't have anything connecting to this anymore. So I just merged the incremental into the full backup, and then I started the transfer over to the nearline storage for the West one. And once that's finished, I can delete that. The East one, I could probably delete that. I don't really need that. Well, I don't know why I thought I needed to keep that around. I don't, because I'm transferring the files from the nearline storage for that that last archival setup. So I could probably delete that. And it, you know, that was kind of sad. Blood, sweat, and tears on that. So that means for us, and for me personally, with Couchbase and Rabbit being gone, I'm pretty much done with both of those technologies, finished with Chef and Scalar. We don't, well, those, all those technologies now can go away. We, for us. So
what are you using now?
So right now we are using, we're pretty much all in on Google Cloud.
Okay.
And so with that, and also VIP. So what I use on a regular basis now, Docker, Google Cloud stuff, Terraform, still do Scalar for Terraform. So that's pretty much it right now, and writing the Node.js applications. So that's been really pared down there, and that's where we are. So, you know, with Google Cloud, we've replaced the RabbitMQ has been replaced by Google Cloud PubSub. The Couchbase and Solar stuff was replaced by another team had put together a similar setup that we're using. That's a homegrown solution. So yeah, that's where we are. I think there's other stuff I use on a regular basis. I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm just so devastated over the loss of Couchbase. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, I didn't have a problem with Couchbase in the past 6 months, probably almost a year. There have been the occasion, like, it doesn't really need a lot of maintenance as long as, you know, you just respect it for what it is. It ran, it did a great job. The occasional issues that we had, it seemed to be. One of the bigger problems was that when you're in the cloud computing environment, that if the underlying hardware your VMs are running on top of has an issue, they could cycle your VM somewhere else. And in a cluster-based system, that can cause a disruption. And when there's a disruption like that, the node that got recycled somewhere else can be dropped out of the cluster and have to be brought back in. And that can cause a lot of headaches, you know, for however that is actually managed. One of the more problematic situations that would occur is we were using console for DNS registration of the Couchbase clusters because it needs to have a service record, which when you query the Couchbase DNS record, instead of getting just one value back, you get a service record that has all the Couchbase nodes in the cluster. So if the system gets provisioned off to another piece of hardware, you don't lose like the configuration, but it causes a disruption where to Couchbase, the node disappeared. So it knocked that node out of the cluster. And when it came back and it was registered, it announced itself back to the cluster said, no, in order for you to come back in, we need to do a complete rebalance to bring you back in. So you're no longer in the cluster. But because it's still up and running and registered in console and it hasn't been removed from console, you can have your node pick up that address and try and send a request to the node that was removed from the cluster, because it's not smart enough to know that. And then you start having problems because it can't reach the documents in the Couchbase cluster. So that was like the biggest issue that we would have at times, you know. But that's what it was. You know, it was good times. But to all things, there's an end, right, Dave?
What they say.
Yep.
That's just like, what was it? Oh, end of last year, the main product that we had that ran, they used Tomcat, Apache Tomcat, was sunsetted. So that one's gone. Now we do still use it, but we use it primarily for something we call the
punishing people.
Yeah, basically. Now, the Aleutian messaging adapter, which my team doesn't deal much with, but basically that's an in-house written product that will kind of be like the middleman between Colleague, which is our ERP that I help manage support-wise, and RabbitMQ. So, but that's all deployed via Ansible, so we don't have to. My team doesn't deal with it. We help like troubleshoot the actual application that it talks to, which is Colleague. But that's about it. So I don't have to do anything with Tomcat anymore, which I'm perfectly happy about.
I don't blame you, man. Tomcat.
Yeah, it's because one of the problems I always had with it was how you would configure SSL certs on it. It was a pain in the ass. It took me a little bit to figure out how you can do PFX formatted certificates. You can do it on Tomcat. It's just a little bit different. If you follow, like if you Google, how do I apply an SSL certificate to Tomcat, the way that would tell you is not how you do a PFX certificate. Is completely different because you use the Java certificate store and all that, and it's bye bye. I don't care.
You know,
I have enough other stuff to learn.
now that you brought it up, you guys use RabbitMQ still, right?
We sure do.
Yeah. So now it's been a while. Like RabbitMQ. We used, again, that was retired like a week and a half ago, I think.
Yeah. So I think everyone ends up using it for what it wasn't really meant for.
But RabbitMQ was another piece of technology that very rarely gave us issues. And it,
yeah.
And most of the time, if you needed to fix something and it was like, you got to clean out some queues or something. Maybe you need to restart a node or whatever. It worked out pretty good. And it was a bit of a confusing architecture in some ways, especially to get, like, understand, like, how to get error messages and stuff from it and understand how to fix it. Little mysterious in some ways. But nothing at all like that abomination of, what was it, MSMQ? Microsoft's messaging queues. Oh gosh, I hated that technology. That was abysmal. I'm glad we stopped using that like almost a decade ago. That was terrible.
Now that said, I haven't used it. What I should probably do is I should probably move my Pi 4 that's in the LCD case over by my workstation just so I can dick around with it between calls, you know.
And install RabbitMQ on it.
No, just to play around. I've got Ubuntu on it right now on the Pi 4 with 4 gig of RAM, which that's a little bit lower than it really needs to be. So it takes a little bit of time for Firefox to launch. I should probably try putting I think I can do Chromium on there, but Chromium won't let you tie in your Google account to it. So,
really?
But No, it won't. They did away with that in Chromium Official. The only way you can do it now is with Chrome. So
wait, if you go in Chromium to Gmail and you log
you can still sign in. You just can't take advantage of the browser integration, you know, that brings all your bookmarks and stuff down.
Really? Because you can do that in Firefox, can't you?
Yep.
Well, you know what?
Not in Firefox.
I don't know.
You have to use something like Xmarks or something like that.
That's right. Firefox will do that across your instances of Firefox, and Chrome will do that against. That kind of blows. I've always found using a Raspberry Pi for like desktop stuff kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's even worse on since that's like a 7-inch screen that runs at like something like 1024x600, kind of a low resolution. If I end up buying a screen for my Pi 5 once it gets here, which I might, I'm probably gonna get like a bigger screen. Like I want to get one that at least does 1080p.
Hey Dave, on your phone, do you have to whether you're wearing your blue blockers or not, do you have to have a magnifying like screen in front of your phone to see the text on it?
No, I've been wearing progressive lenses for 7 years now, so I'm good. I can see with my glasses.
Same.
I take my glasses off, I can't see.
I will say one thing, like last time I got glasses, I've been on the progressive bifocals too, but I also bought bifocal sunglasses, and when I ordered them, they were like, do you want the lenses polarized or not polarized? I chose polarized. Should have went non-polarized because I
can't use your phone as well.
Yeah, well, I can see it. I can see it with them on.
Turn it 90 degrees, I bet you have a harder time.
Yeah, probably. There are some LCDs, like I have one of the desk hubs in my kitchen. I can't see it when I got my sunglasses on at all. And when I'm in the car, I can see the screen on the infotainment system in my Traverse. But what I end up seeing, though, is I see like almost like LCD. You remember how CRTs had the little black lines in it if you looked at it certain ways? That's kind of what this looks like, except thinner.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. But I can still see it, and it's still as good. So I think if I replace these, I'll probably get regular.
Yeah, I had with the polarized clip-ons that you put on top of your regular glasses.
Yep.
Yeah. And couldn't see my watch or my phone while I was using them.
Yeah, at least I can still see that. So
I'm too that's cheap good. To get. I'm too cheap to get prescription sunglasses. So I got the transition lenses, which is sort of old manish, but I like. I got transition.
I got those too. Yeah.
Yeah, I got cataract like 4 or 5 years ago, and they're small, but I hardly ever wear sunglasses because I can't see through them. So.
Jesus surgery?
No, I just got transition lenses. It's not about bother.
Okay.
early.
My wife had the surgery, so it wasn't too awful bad. But
I get optical migraines occasionally. That's the only eye problems I have other than.
Of course, yesterday I was coming down the stairs. I was almost all the way down, and I was carrying like I had a can or two of a pop in like one of them liquid death cans, and I fell and went flat on my butt. I'm okay. Didn't damage any because I had my iPad and both my phones with me because I'm on call. And I laid there for a second and I'm like, I'm okay. And everyone's like, huh? Like, did anybody actually hear me fall? and all the cans were fine, too. They didn't explode. So I'm like, well, I'm glad nobody actually saw me, but I'm also kind of concerned that nobody gave a shit that I fell. Oh, well.
There'll be more of that in our future, falling.
I am sure. I am totally sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a apparel getting older. But now, because my toe did kind of bend, probably further than I'd like it to have bend, and it's okay. I can still walk on it, but it's just sore. Thank you, Aleve. But I should probably take this little game system I got not long ago apart and see if I can pull the SD card out, or see if it has one in it, so I can load different ROMs on it. Because there's a fair amount of garbage shit on this thing.
That's the one you got with your gift card?
Yeah. Yeah, any of these Chinese ones, they're going to have like a... It looks like Super Mario, but they took all the sprites and changed them out for some other character. And stuff like that. It's just strange. I'll see if I can hook it to the TV too. But it's kind of cool. I might be able to scavenge parts and stuff off of it to do things with it. That's kind of what it sounds like when you start it up. But it does have some of the real games on it. It does have like Excitebike, the original Super Mario, a few others. I haven't gone through all the menus, but I think it might even have I don't know if it has Zelda on it or not. It does. For Zelda, I probably should just end up breaking down and buying it on my Switch.
Which one?
Like the first
any
one?
Any of them. Any of, well, you can probably get all of them, is my thinking, I think. On the Switch. I haven't
you
checked.
Would be thinking wrong. Like, you talking about... Okay. So, I don't think you can get Wind Waker on the Switch.
All right.
That's, like, one of the only ones I think you can
get. I do want the new Super Mario that came out.
The only reason I usually think about buying a Switch is because I want the GTA Vice City, the remastered version, which is only available on the Switch.
The original GTA?
Vice City.
Oh, Vice City.
There's not an Android port of that?
I haven't seen one.
I have an NVIDIA Shield, and I thought it was available on there, but it could have been on that NVIDIA gaming service. Or I might have saw it on Steam. I can't remember it.
I'm sure you can, get the... I don't think... Is Rockstar Games on Steam?
Maybe not. I thought I saw it on... It's installable on my NVIDIA Shield, which is Android, but...
Right. Well, I'm sure, somebody has ported the original game over to Android, but I don't know about the remastered one.
Oh, okay. I missed the remastered part. Sorry about that.
No, I'm not seeing GTA. Oh, okay. Hold on. $4.99, Grand Theft Auto Vice City. No, it doesn't say it's the remastered version. It is available on Android for $5.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Zeldas that are not yet on the Switch. But I don't know if you're interested in playing those, Joel. Like Four Swords Adventure, Twilight Princess, Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks, A Link Between Worlds, Triforce Heroes, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages. But I guess that's coming in 2023. Which, it is 2023, so this article must be a little old. I know that they keep releasing some of the older ones on the online thing that they have. But there you go. Yeah. Right, Dave?
I guess.
Dave, you know what I did this week, this past weekend, in honor of you?
What's that?
I went down to my favorite, preferred seafood shop, and that's Graham and Rollins in Hampton, Virginia. Can't go wrong there. And picked up 2 pounds of North Carolina shrimp.
North Carolina
shrimp. A bag of clams, 50 clams, and I butterfied and fried those shrimp.
My wife asked me if I wanted to meet her again at Red Lobster today, and I said, no, I've had enough shrimp.
Oh, man. That's the first time I ever butterfied and fried shrimp at home. Usually I steam them or something. Oh, it was so good, Dave. I was disappointed that I had to feed everybody else because I was just eating it all myself.
What were you steaming? I missed that part.
No, I did butterfly fried shrimp, but I did steam. Ooh. I did steam clams.
Nice.
So you put that bug in my ear there, Dave, and I had to do it.
I'm sure they were better than the Red Lobster shrimp.
Oh yeah.
Where'd they get the red lobster shrimp in South Carolina, Dave? They just go out in one of those
freezer, I guess.
by the highway, the pools of water that collect in the exits, and they go with a big net and scoop out whatever comes and fry it up for you.
I got no idea.
Call it shrimp. Yeah.
What did I do? I'm trying to think if I did anything. No. Oh. Not that I think it's any high quality Indian food, but Sam's Club in like their deli section had this thing you just warm up with butter chicken in it. It's I would guess that's probably an Americanized Indian dish.
Wait, but, are you talking about like a frozen?
It wasn't frozen.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't frozen. No, it was like
It's not bad.
It was premium. No, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's missing some spices to make it truly Indian.
Yes.
But
and
if
rice.
You're wanting, I get my own rice, but just putting it side. If you need a quick meal and you don't really want to cook, it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad at all. And it's also I had Luke try it, because right now, well, up until now, I was the only one that probably liked Indian food.
Now they all like Indian food?
No, Luke likes it, so I'm going to have to take him up to, there's a couple Indian restaurants here, and they both do buffets, which I want to try more. That's the thing. You know, I want to try more. And I just don't want to go and order something off the menu and decide, ooh, this is not good. Because that could happen with Indian food.
but it won't, trust me.
Yeah.
Well, there's one over in Richardson are you in Dallas area? That has a huge...
I'm in Ohio, but yeah.
Okay. Well, there's several, we're heavy in the Indian community, and we're in North Dallas.
Yeah.
But we
where
also
I used
have...
to live... You know, as I was saying, where I used to live in the apartment, which was in Dublin, Ohio, that there was not far away from there was one of the main, probably the largest Hindu temple in the area, and a lot of my neighbors were Indian. Right about November is when Diwali is. I walked out of my apartment up there and. There was a Rangoli on the front porch of my neighbor's apartment. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And then there was they had their thing in the summer that was not summer, early spring.
The Color Festival?
Yes, the Color Festival. So they did that there too. But, of course, that's where this restaurant is. And back then, they didn't have the buffet open because COVID. But I'm gonna have to go up there because I want to try the different things, and like I said, I want to be able to try a little bit of it and decide if I would like to order some. Like I think I can get them to deliver down here, possibly. I don't know, but there's that place and which is called Amul India, and then there's one called AAB. but I know that's nothing like what my Indian teammates probably eat. But it's worth a shot.
Yeah, Joe gets spoiled. A lot of his coworkers are from India, so they have potlucks. And they're like, oh, it's spicy. And it's like, no, dude, he's used to eating my cooking.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Everyone has this misconception that all Indian food is very spicy. It really isn't. It's actually more vegetable heavy than a lot of cuisines I've ever tried. So,
well, there was one I was going to tell you. If you were in the North Dallas Richardson area, they have an all you can eat, and it's Middle Eastern, and it's a vegetarian buffet, and it's every day. And oh my God, is it great? Because all these different flavors.
I'm not opposed to vegetarian food. I'm just not going to say exclusively eat it ever. So,
the buffet, as you say, is a good way to kind of get and see if you like the
get
spices.
A sample, right?
Uh-huh. That's right. What we like doing, just to try everything out at least once.
Exactly, you know, and if I don't like it, I just won't order it.
Well, it's like going to dim sum or doing the hot pots and everything like that.
I think when I ordered it when I lived up there, I tried the chicken tikka masala, which was excellent. I want to try some biryani. I haven't had any of that, or some tandoori chicken or something.
It's all like tasty, man. It's all tasty.
You won't be disappointed, Joel.
No. And it's reasonably priced too. And I'm
the
on
one
their
that
website.
Blew my mind was Nigerian Bakery. The pastries from West Africa were just amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that. There's some of that community here, too. We also have Somali in the Columbus area, too. I don't know if we have any Somalian restaurants. We probably do. I just haven't looked. But I like trying different food. Yes.
Well, that's what me and my friend, before she moved, we do twice a month. We'd find a new restaurant, and we go try it out.
Yep. We used to have a group of Illusion employees up here. That a lot of us are. There's a lot of folks here that work for my company in Ohio, and a lot in the Columbus area. And we used to do that. We go out for lunch once a month. It was nice. That's how I got to try Korean fried chicken for the first time.
I didn't think I'd like chicken feet, but they were okay.
You know what? It might be all right. I've never tried them, so. But I'm trying to even remember the name of the place. It was actually a chain, but it was a smaller chain that we went to that I got to try the Korean fried chicken. And for my appetizer, I ordered some takoyaki, which I love takoyaki. You ever had takoyaki, Dan?
Well, what is takoyaki?
Octopus balls.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
And with the Japanese mayo, the really sweet mayo.
Yep, the QB mayo.
You would be upset if I told you about our Japanese grocery store that has fresh sushi and dakimaki and gaizo and all sorts of. And it opens up at 10:30 every morning, and it's all set up, and you just go in and you grab and you walk back out, and they even give you chopsticks and stuff to go with you.
I'm going to freely admit, I will buy sushi at the grocery store because Kroger's actually has decent sushi for grocery store sushi. Sam's Club also has it too now.
Well, the Japanese market does it too. That's right. So we have you have the Japanese market and you have the Southeast Asian market that are like a block from each other, and they're both grocery stores.
Yep. Yeah. We have a place called Cam International Food Market, which I would say is probably heavily Asian, although I've seen other stuff in there too. Like, they have, like, stuff I'll never try, like durian.
Well, my kids have got more that they get addicted every so often. They just want pickled plums, rice balls.
Oh, yeah, the, oh, shoot, I forget what they're really called. I knew. I knew the Japanese name for it, but yeah.
Well, they also do the rice balls, but the kids are like, yeah, they want pickled plum. Okay.
Sounds weird, doesn't it?
It does, but, you know, it's pretty good, and when you got a craving for it, it hits.
Now, but, our local Meijer grocery store here, they do sushi, too, but one of the sushis they do is hot Cheeto.
It's one I like, and it's Americanized.
Yes. It's basically like a California roll, but then they roll it in, like, hot Cheeto dust. It's like, no thank you.
Well, there's one, and they call it a Franklin roll out here, but it's like a, it's a sushi. It's got, inside is cucumber, green onion, and Philly, cream cheese with rice wrapped in soy paper.
Yep.
And then they wrap the meat on the outside and they quick deep fry it.
Ooh.
And they serve it with, octopus sauce, or no, eel sauce. You get the crispiness of the salmon on the outside, and then it's all nice and warm and gooey in the inside.
I still need to go. Actually, I need to go over to, and I probably should do it like on a, I think they're open Sunday, but we do finally have a good pho place that I can go pick up some pho at.
The only thing you're talking hot chili, Cheetos, do not try the hot chili, Cheeto macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. Oh, ume. That's what those are. Pickled plums are called ume. Or umebashi. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I might have tried that one, but I know I tried the regular Cheeto mac and cheese, which is just nasty.
Well, we like spicy. We do the Takis. We do hot Cheetos, you know.
Takis.
Yeah, we got all the different flavors of Takis out here, and we do those in my son's lunch, and we were going to try the macaroni and cheese, and nobody liked it. Tuna even wouldn't save that sucker. Extra cheese did not save that sucker.
No, I haven't. Well, what thing is, I got to find a place that sells them in one packet, but the Samyang chicken bulldog noodles, that's the one I sent you, Dan, the hot ones.
Yeah.
And I love those things. They're good, but I can't eat, like, I can only find them in 5 packs up here, and I can't eat all 5 before they expire. Yeah, that's an idea.
Well, it brings it down just a little bit, but it makes it a little bit, you're just adding milk in the seasoning together and kind of mixing it to make it a little bit more, and then if you want to thicken it up, just a dash of cornstarch.
Right. I mean, I can eat it the way it is. You know, it's just, my gut can't take that much all at once for like eating it for two or three days a week, because it's, I think that's what it would take for me to eat them all before they expire. or once a week or something. Yeah, I love them. They're, but it's like the heat on them is just like, I'm like, yeah, I did that like 1 week I did that and my gut was just, oh, it was so bad. And what I did one time is I made the noodles and I had some chicken fingers. And I made those, and I just mixed those with the noodles with the chicken fingers, which was really tasty, by the way. But, yeah. And it's also I got to watch the salt content, and those stuff are just loaded with salt. But
well, I make a deal with the kids. I don't care if they want to eat ramen or when they want to eat ramen, but for every ramen, they have to add a cup of veggies. and they have to add some sort of meat with it.
Right.
My youngest daughter, she puts instant potatoes, mashed potatoes, in her ramen.
In her ramen?
Yeah, she swears by it.
Yeah, it helps thicken it up. No, it helps thicken it up. It doesn't have a heavy flavor.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I tried it once. It mellowed it too much for me or something.
Yeah. Well, my kids take the stir-fry mix or the Normandy blend with the squash and zucchini.
Right, right.
And then usually add either two eggs, they'll like fry up an egg or scramble some egg and put it on top. Or they'll put it in there right then on top and swirl it up to thicken up the sauce.
To make the cheap stuff taste better.
Yeah, I would add egg. That's good.
Yeah, egg, yeah.
I don't care what time they eat. As long as my deal is, as long as they're not eating 30 minutes before dinner time. But I had a bottomless pit for a long time, and now I have another bottomless pit. You know, 13 eating like he's I'm eating his 18-year-old and 19-year-old or 20-year-old sister without a problem.
Now our North Market, both Dave and Dan, the North Market has a good ramen place now. Like true ramen, you know, with the fish cakes and stuff like that in it.
I'm such a creature of habit. I could eat the same thing every day. If it's something I like, I could eat it every day. But every time I've been to the North Market, I eat the Polish food.
Hubert's, I know. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't venture out. I'm slow to try something new. I know what I like.
Now, there is a new place you have to try here. There, if you like Hubert's, you'd like Pierogi Mountain.
That sounds good.
Magic word here, yes. Pierogi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffed with the onion and potato, or
yes.
Oh.
Yes, all of it. To be honest,
do you like borscht?
No, probably
have
not.
Have you ever had Easter borscht?
No.
Right, so normally borscht is made with beets, right? And it's red?
Right.
Easter borscht is made with turnips, and it's white.
Weird.
I worked with a Polish guy, and we had some potluck at work. This was years ago. His wife made what he called egg salad, and I still don't know if it was a joke or not. It was a casserole dish, and I love deviled eggs, or eggs that are hard-boiled, and they got the deviled eggs instead of the yolk, whatever that's called. Anyway, had a casserole dish just full of deviled eggs, and then he put like a 2-inch layer of mayonnaise on top of it, and it's called egg salad. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, I didn't try it because it just looked disgusting.
Okay, my grandmother was not a cook. My grandmother was a terrible cook. My grandfather did all the cooking for a reason. Her idea of a meal was she'd open a can of peas, drain it, and then add a jar of Miracle Whip.
Yuck.
Now we see why my grandfather was the cook.
Well, my mother-in-law will be 95 years old in January, and she cooks 3 home-cooked meals a day. It's southern, you know, it's green beans fried, green beans with fat back. Everything's got fat back in it. Fried chicken.
Of course.
It's awesome.
I make that for Thanksgiving. The traditional green beans with fried onions in them and fat back.
I do. Thanksgiving's coming up, of course. And I'll have turkey, of course. But I bake my own bread for my stuffing. I make one loaf of just plain old white bread. Yeah, I cheat. I have a bread maker. But then I make the second loaf I make is basically still white bread, but I take a bunch of sage and dump it into the bread when I'm making it. And then my stuffing is real simple. I just cube up that bread, and chop up some onion and some celery and butter and more sage, salt, pepper, and that's what goes in my bird.
We don't do stuffing. I put frozen peas and butter on the inside of my turkey.
Interesting.
We don't do stuffing down here. We do just dressing, which is just like a casserole
dish. Stuffing.
Yeah, it's stuffing. But it's a little fatty.
You don't do the cornbread. Cornbread stuffing can be good or can be bad.
It frozen and run it through.
Yeah.
No, and have you guys? So my daughter's allergic to sweet potatoes. Like,
oh,
really
I love
bad.
Sweet potato.
So in exchange, we use squash, and I make it with and I do it also with carrots. And then I make a sweet potato pie, but I use the alternative either squash or carrots. With brown sugar and maple and a little bit of bourbon and butter.
Yeah, I love sweet potato. A lot of times I've just gotten, because it's just me and my son that likes it, I'll get two yams or two sweet potatoes and bake them and then mash them up into mashed sweet potato.
But we don't eat, sweet potato does not even come into my house. We're like EpiPen.
Yeah, I get it.
That's
us
and pork. Yeah, my daughter's allergic to pork and same thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Have you ever had a pinto bean pie?
Yes.
How do they make
with
that taste like? Okay, the ones I've had taste like just like pecan pie.
You can do them sweet because pinto beans don't have any flavor.
Yeah.
So it's whatever seasoning you do. I do it as like a inside with a cornbread.
I think I would like that better, the savory or the spicy. That would be much. I love pinto beans, but
yeah, I do the pinto bean spice, and then I make it a cornbread pie crust.
Okay.
It's kind of like impossible hamburger pie using Bisquick.
I'd probably like that, but like you mentioned pinto beans, that's what I put in my chili because I don't do Texas. Well, I can do Texas style chili, but I like beans in my chili.
We don't do Texas chili around here. We do Mexican chili.
There you go. Yeah, up here, and it's better. There's a place up here called Skyline. Did you ever check it out when you were up here, Dave?
I don't think so.
Okay, they're known for they call them cheese conies, but basically chili dogs.
Okay.
All right, and the guy that started it was Greek, so it's Greek style chili. It has no beans. It has non-traditional spices in it, like I think it has nutmeg in it, which is a little strange. It tastes good. It's just different, you know.
If it's sweet, I wouldn't like it. To me, sweet and meat don't.
I don't think
go together.
It's sweet. I don't think it's sweet. But
I've had the one that I was okay with, and they were a hand pie with apples and turkey bacon in it.
Ooh.
That was, and it was like a. They had a little bit of like almost like a dos de leches.
Was that an empanada?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. But okay. It was turkey bacon and like apple pie filling, and they had like the two cheese that they would drizzle with it.
See, like one of the things I haven't done it in a while. One of the things I like to do every once in a while is make candied bacon, which is so delicious.
Well, I make hard attack cinnamon rolls.
There you go.
And when you start rolling up your cinnamon rolls, you roll up. Well, it depends. If you like crunchy bacon, you cook your bacon a little bit. If you like a little bit softer, can you roll the bacon up raw in the cinnamon roll when you roll it up?
Right, yep.
And you have to use the cream cheese icing and not the sweet sugar one.
Absolutely.
That's just changing the flavor.
Have you ever had peanut butter and bacon?
Yes.
I don't like peanut butter. I like peanut butter.
I love peanut butter, but peanut butter, I don't like sweet in any meat. I don't want it to be sweet, but peanut butter is a little sweet. But you put it with bacon, and it just brings the salt out. It just tastes good.
Now, see, this Pierogi Mountain, they have the traditional potato cheddar ones. They have brown butter and sweet potato and sage, which, for Joe's family, that would not work, but... then they have potato, sauerkraut, and mushroom.
Yeah, my mom makes homemade sauerkraut. You ain't convinced me to
change. Yes, the sauerkraut's awesome. I love sauerkraut.
My mom makes that jalapeno hot sauerkraut, too.
Ooh.
So when she cans it, she puts in several of the large, still with the seed in it, jalapenos.
Now, this one sounds weird. A pierogi with sweet corn, Old Bay, and chives.
Old Bay.
They pure the sweet corn, and they whip it with chives. Oh, and potato. It has potato in it, too. And Old Bay. And use a corn yellow dough, which is...
It sounds like the mixed corn buckets.
Yep. Or, I want to try the real thing, but I've tried several things that were supposed to taste like elotes, like they have Mexican street corn nuts.
Yeah,
I know it's not really a real elotes, but, you know, it kind of had that wang.
Well, see, when you come down here and you harass my husband, we will take you to go get real Mexican food.
Yes.
Okay, we will take him to the places. Okay, we can't find real Mexican food, like border Mexican food, but there are some good Mexican places around here.
Yeah, that's like up here now. There's a couple, like, I don't even know what my favorite one is up here. And most of the ones I like up here are family run.
Mm-hmm.
There's one I won't go to, which is
Taco Bell, right?
Joel? No.
That's like the lowest of low, man.
It is.
You have a Taco John or a Taco Bueno.
Right. Well, we have Taco Ones, and we also have Del Taco now.
Oh, wow.
Not far. Yeah. No, the
standards,
one.
No, standards.
There was a mom and pop place called Fiesta Mariachi that was close to, we used to live, and they were really good, but they've since been shut down by the health department like 3 times, so I don't want to go there anymore.
Dude, if I'm not buying my tamales exist. Like a drug deal, this isn't a good tamale.
But,
you know,
yeah,
in Kmart parking lot, we're checking the stuff out of the trunk.
In our area, the Mexican places that are around, either they're really seasoned and have a lot of chilies in it or hardly anything. There's one called El Vaquero, and it's okay, good quality food, it tastes decent, but it's Mexican. It needs more chili. It's like, it's just not enough. It's none of it is.
Well, I moved from
where it needs to be.
West Texas into East Texas.
Right.
And I didn't think anything of it. And then I went to the store and we're like, going to have chili. This is like second weekend. And I grabbed some of their cornbread. Their cornbread out here tastes like cake.
Yeah, sugar in the cornbread.
Well, I don't mind a honey on a little bit, but I mean, like, sage honey is a crust on it. But that doesn't change the chili flavor.
Right.
I can put my beans on this sucker. It was terrible.
And Dave, with cornbread, are you a sweet or non-sweet?
Non-sweet.
That's what I figured.
I don't eat it like my dad does, though. My dad is always his cornbread is very non-sweet and is thick. It's cooked in a black skillet, but he pours buttermilk on it and eats it with an onion.
Yuck.
Eats it out of a bowl like cereal.
Yep.
Yuck.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad put pickled onions on them instead of just regular onion. He does take the canned pickled onion and put it on there that.
Yeah. There's one thing that mom made us eat when I was a kid that I will never, ever, ever, ever eat again. Liver and onions.
Oh.
No way.
If you cook it right, it's delicious. You got to stop it.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah, my mom made chicken livers when I was growing up, and
livers I love.
I don't like hers. Look like they look like black rocks, and the bottom looked like obsidian. I mean, it was.
Oh.
Yeah, it had a reflection. It was flat where it was.
She overcooked them.
Yes, she did. I was well into my 30s, and I was at work, and I saw somebody eating something. I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Chicken livers." I said, "Chicken livers aren't brown; they're black."
Nope.
The way I was raised, I hated them. She could
My mom would use chicken livers and make like stuffed cabbage with them and onions.
Yep.
I love anything cabbage.
So should we throw them in the blender, dice them to pieces, and then put all the seasonings for stuffed cabbage, and then wrap them up like that, and then bake them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
my family's weird. We have Mexican food and German food usually on the same table.
No problem with that. I have no problem with that.
So there would be enchiladas, and there'd be sauerkraut to go with it. Or
I don't know if I'd put sauerkraut on the enchilada, but I would eat it at the same time. No problem there.
Or you'd see stuffed cabbage, and there would be fresh chili put on top of it. Mom would sweat the green chili and everything, and then we'd kind of wrap it into the stuffed cabbage.
Yep. That was pie-wise for Thanksgiving is usually a pumpkin and a pecan. And I don't do a lot of people will, if you follow the most pecan pie recipes, they'll tell you to put the goo in it and then throw the pecans on. I take the goo and the pecans and mix them together and then put it in the shell. Much better.
Well, like this evening, my son's we ran out of oranges. He usually has clementines in his lunch, so we made almost pie today. Cherry pie filling with granola bar and a little bit of whipped protein powder.
Hey, it works.
So, he's supposed to be on a high calorie, high protein diet.
Right.
We're trying to put 15 pounds on him, and it is not sticking. Speaking of, I'm gonna hand it to Joe. He's back now.
Cool. Dan, you haven't had a crab boil in a while, have you? Like crawfish boil?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I had to get them from Mississippi. You know what I was gonna say? Little and Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
They're kind of tied together. They have really good and cheap Indian dinners. Chana masal, paneer palak, biryani chicken, butter chicken. And they're really good. My kids love them. And
I don't know if we have...
I've had them too. They're
we have Trader Joe's. I'm not sure if really we have good. Little yet.
I'm surprised you wouldn't have Little.
Well, you have Aldi.
At this stage of the game. Yeah,
I know
but
the
Aldi
difference between
Aldi.
Little. There's the two Aldis. There's Aldi Nord and Aldi Sud. And one of them, I forget which one of them runs Little.
I think it's Aldi Sud, because down. I'm assuming that means south.
Right.
Here we have Aldi and Little.
Yeah, we don't have. Yeah, we don't. I just punched. Well, let's see. Can you punch the zip code in there?
I mean, they're both. What's a German chain, right? Aldi and Little.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're. That looks like right now they're mostly East Coast. Now I'm looking at their map. But we definitely have Aldi. We have multiple. In fact, they just opened a new Aldi up. It's been a while since I've been over there. I should go grab a quarter and go over there. Our Aldi makes you stick a quarter in to get the cart.
Yeah.
Same down here. Wear a coat and all.
Yeah.
It's cold in there.
Yeah. But the nice thing about Aldi, though, is they're always small.
That's
they're
why
not
it's cold.
A large store. Right. So the only thing I don't like at Aldi is I typically don't like their produce. That used to be where I go get my Jaffa Cakes back when there was a show called Linux Outlaws, and we used to talk about that stuff.
You can still go there and get them, man. Nobody's stopping you.
Nope, they don't have them anymore.
They did 2 weeks ago.
I'll have to check. Maybe ours might have. I know the one
yeah,
I
it comes
used
and it goes.
To go.
I saw them last week.
Okay.
Not this past weekend, the weekend before. They had the orange and the strawberry.
Because they're
Jaffa cakes.
their store brand, I can get the actual like ones they get in the UK. Meijer here locally has like a international food aisle, and they have a lot of UK stuff over there. Like they have the actual things that you would see them put on toast. Baked beans on toast, Dave. Doesn't that sound weird?
I hate baked beans. If it's got brown sugar, molasses in it, not eating it.
These probably don't. I think it's just like a weak tomato sauce and haricot beans.
I would do that. But, I put pork and beans on a hot dog before, so I could see beans on toast.
But but I've got those ones. I'm trying to remember. Oh no, they're the original. The original brand, I want to say McCain, but I don't think it's right. I'll Google it.
What?
The ones from the UK,
Dave,
are made by. I'm trying to remember who they're originally made by. McVitie, and. There's every time I buy them at Meijer, they taste fine, but they look like hell because they probably came over on a boat or an airplane or something. They were beat to shit. So the ones I get at Aldi, though, they're perfect. And they taste good, too, when I've gotten them. But the orange ones.
Do you have a little, Dave?
A little.
I think we do. I know we got Aldi. I think there's a little down here.
Yep.
You know what you should do, Dave? Get your ass down to that little and pick up a couple of jars of the whole yellow Datarini tomatoes. Mm. They are beautiful.
Are they hot?
No.
Okay. Not at all. I like the. I'm a man of simple taste. Canned tomatoes or jarred tomatoes. I like the what is it, Rotel, the hot ones.
Those are
the
good.
Rotel, yeah. No, these like are, they're hard to get. Okay. Datarini. They come from a specific region, I think, in Italy, and they are so good.
Neat.
I'll have to remember that.
I have to check that out.
I got a non-food related reference question. RSS readers, what do y'all use?
I don't really use one anymore.
Damn.
Don't use one either?
Nope.
Okay.
What's an RSS reader?
right? The only thing I will use RSS for my podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But that's it.
Okay.
What do you prefer? I remember Snow News and everything. Always found it being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I use Newsboat, but for the last 3 years I've been running a Nextcloud server, and like it because it's on my phone, it's on my home network, it's anywhere I need it.
I used to use Google Reader until they got rid of it.
Yeah, I did too.
So wait, you have what is the
Nextcloud News. I have a Nextcloud server and it's just the news app on it.
Okay. So that aggregates everything and you just hit it with a web browser on any of your devices.
Well, there's actually a news app, so it's a dedicated app just for that. But
all right. I wonder if I can. I have to look at my portainer and see if I can put the. Nextcloud
love Nextcloud.
On there with a Docker container.
I use it.
I'll have to see that.
Yeah, I just did the traditional install out of a container version, but I love my Nextcloud server. I use all kind of apps on it.
Now I have a question for you about this. If I recall correctly, and I could be wrong. But I thought after a while, and I'm not sure if this was before they shut down Google Reader or whatever, but I remember like when I first started using RSS, like you can read pretty much the entire article
to the RSS reader, but then they stopped like that or something. They only gave you like a little blurb, and you had to go to the website and all that stuff.
I'm getting the full article without ads and everything. It's behaving for me like it's always behaved.
Oh.
I like Newsboat because you can do it in a console window, but I really like the Nextcloud version.
I'll have to look.
Newsboat.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see if I can do that. I haven't done too much with my MB. Well, it's Open Media Vault, and then you can install Docker on top of that, and that's how I installed MB for my media server. And I like it because it has a Roku app. It has one for Android, one for iOS, so on and so forth.
I guess
I really like it.
Flex and Steam are the two non-open source servers I run. But
Plex. Yeah, well, MB is starting to go the Plex way. Like, I think I have to like subscribe to something for MB so that I can take the MB app and then download, because you can actually download from the MB server on your device so that you can play like a movie or something in your MB app, just like you do with Netflix and stuff like that.
Yeah, Plex has I went the cheap route and got the lifetime Plex subscription.
Right.
Yeah, but Plex has added sort of like a Pluto app. It's sort of like Pluto TV. It's their own channels, live TV.
Right. I've been watching a lot of stuff on Hulu lately. Allison found a channel called The Norman Lear Effect on YouTube. That one has a lot of Norman Lear shows from the 70s and early 80s, you know, like Archie Bunker's Place and All in the Family.
Jeffersons.
Yep, Jeffersons and Good Times.
What's happening?
Not much. How about you?
I have to see if it's on there. I have to look in the channel and see if they have that one. I know that they have said they have all of the pilots of every Norman Lear show on that channel now. So, like, the pilot for All in the Family and basically all of them, I think. But that's an interesting channel I ran into when I was on vacation. And I watched, like, in Archie Bunker's Place, which was what came after All in the Family, there was an episode where Edith died.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
That was really good. And then the one where he got custody of...
Was that the first episode?
No, that was... It was second season. First episode of the second season of that. Yeah. Where Edith died and he did... Carol O'Connor did a masterful job with that script on that one. He was so good.
He auditioned for the part of Uncle Joe in Petticoat Junction.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did not know that. Because he was pretty much unknown until All in the Family.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then later on, and I think it's in the same season, he had to fight for custody for Stephanie, who was little girl they had. Yeah, that was good too.
Bringing back memories now. I have not seen Archie in years. I can, embarrassingly enough. Yeah, right.
He was middle-aged when that first came out, right?
I can geek out on PBS when they run Lawrence Welk. Because, you know, that's what my grandparents watched. And,
yeah, same.
It's fond memories.
Lawrence Welk.
Before I forget, and I'm not going back to Nextcloud just to be belaboring a point, but if you do try that, okay. Joel,
Yeah.
If you do try that, one of the coolest things about it, I think, is the Calabra Office. It's an office suite server that you run. So you own all your documents, all of that.
I get very little use out of that. I even try to use Google Docs and share them with my wife to, like, do things like plan vacations and shit. And she won't even log into it.
I do my monthly budget on it. I do everything on Calabra Office on my next cloud server.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem I have too. Right. You know, I'm like, oh, this is awesome and it's great and it does everything that you need it to do, but nobody wants to use it. Because
if a family all got all in on something like that, how much easier it would be to like plan things and do things.
Yeah, my family won't. But, I mean, I'm the only one using it, but I still think it's cool. My wife is so analog. I mean, her idea of a game is she does a crossword puzzle every day, sometimes six a day.
That's like my entire family, to be honest, except for we have like my brother-in-law Todd and both my brother-in-laws on my wife's side are somewhat into tech, although my younger brother-in-law, he's a lawyer for Nationwide Insurance, in Witten. He can only practice law for Nationwide Insurance, or so since I'm family, he's my attorney.
my brother and I are tech heavy, but the rest of my family is just, you know, Facebook, TikTok, and that's about it.
Right. Yep. Facebook, my family, my extended family is the main reason I'm still on Facebook.
I'm the only member of my family that's not on it, and so I don't think I'm missing anything.
You used to be, but you closed that account, I remember.
Yeah.
But, and I'm on X. I'm on most of them. Usually Garcon, but I am on Threads too, which is kind of there's nobody. It's just like it was on Google Plus when you first went on, except there ain't no techie people on it, which means there's nobody on it. And I am on, I'm trying to remember which server I use for
Mastodon. Fostodon. Yep. Yeah.
I'm on Fostodon, yes.
That's a good one.
Yep. Fostodon, and I do have one there. I'm on a couple other instances too. There's a Mastodon that's for Christians I'm on. And that is theirs.life. Theirs.life.
Put it in the chat or something.
Yes, I will.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. I've interacted with a couple people over there, but it's not like one of those things I log into every day because I got MeWe too, and I hardly use MeWe. But Murph is over on Mastodon. He is on Hackerstown, I think.
I miss Google Plus.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, that was, I liked it.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Have any of y'all seen the new Mission Impossible movie?
No.
Was that the one that came out in the summer?
It just started streaming last week. I've not seen it. Oh,
is it good?
I went back and watched all the others just to. Yeah.
I am. You must be a Mission Impossible fan.
I'm not a. I mean, not particularly a Tom
Cruise
fan.
I'm not a Tom Cruise, yeah.
Tom Cruise, the person, I'm not a fan of. He's had some good movies. I mean, I still won't watch Top Gun, but...
Top Gun Maverick was fantastic.
I didn't see the first one or that one, but I've seen all his others. I mean... No, more
Tom Cruise dancing in his underpants. Guy, right?
More War of the Worlds in Minority Report, Last Samurai.
No Outsiders?
I don't remember that one, but no, I don't think I've seen.
Wait,
it
Tom Cruise was in Outsiders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
It was his first movie, I think.
The Outsiders.
No, it was his second movie. Okay. He was on the set of another movie when he got pulled into that one.
Yeah, because I think because of that, that's why he had Emilio Estevez for a little while in the first Mission Impossible movie.
Holy crap, Patrick Swayze. I completely forgot he was in that movie.
The Karate Kid.
I know everybody else. I'm like, oh yeah, they were in there. I did not know Tom Cruise was in that.
Let's see. He is.
Was C. Thomas Howell in that?
Yeah, he played Pony Boy.
C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez.
Have you seen Bill Burr's movie, Old Heads?
No.
I saw one ad for it.
I watched it last night. It was pretty funny, but
did you watch it? F is for family.
I've not seen that one, but C. Thomas Howell's in that movie.
Interesting. Yeah, F is for family brings back so many memories because my mom sold Tupperware. In there, it was plasticware instead of that because it's all based in the 70s.
Okay, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, if you have no problem with an F-bomb every once in a while,
this is more,
you'll
this
be
was
fine.
Way more every once in a while. This is
yeah.
Genre of the day, time and frequency.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever checked out Mrs. Brown's Boys?
Uh-uh.
It's not on the air anymore. I think they only did like 2-3 seasons and then a whole bunch of Christmas and New Year's episodes since they went the air. And they did have another show later on called All Around to Mrs. Brown's. Chance to check it out. I think you'll like it.
Was that animated?
No. It's an Irish television show.
Oh, okay.
It was very popular on the BBC for a while.
What's it called again?
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Now, I ran into, I don't know if it's a channel, but the video, I'll share the video in the YouTube link in the chat. 36 new shows of the hellish mid-season TV of 1979. 90% of the shows you probably never heard of, or you might have heard of, and you're like, and you completely forgot it even existed.
We've been watching those like regularly the past couple of weeks, like from late.
There's several of them
all the way
there out
to
there. The one I ran into this week was the 79 one, and it was just. Like it had, and it's all just the beginning sequences of the TV show. So it's like there's one for Angie in there.
There's so many shows that I completely forgot about.
1979.
Yeah.
Youngin. But yeah, that's not the only one. Yeah, I did see like the 1983 one in there too.
And yeah, so many shows, I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I... Well, I'm like, I remember that show, but
some of them you don't...
Like, I wouldn't have remembered it.
As I say, some of them you never remembered, but then you'll come across that one, and you're like, I remember that show. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Like that old show.
A lot of shows I never watched.
I mean,
watched.
We watched Chico and the Man, because who didn't?
I remember that.
Looking good. Yeah, he was killed himself, the guy who played him.
Yep. Name's on the tip of my tongue.
Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, I see. I was going to say Freddie Fender, but yeah, Freddie Prinze.
And his son was...
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
You going to see... Yes.
Freddie Prinze Sr., I think, is going to hit himself. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
You going to see Five Nights at Freddy's this weekend?
I will be going to see it because my daughter wants to see it. Because she loves the games.
Did you see the Taylor Swift movie?
Oh, hell no. No. It's like, I'm so sick and tired of reading about who the fuck Taylor Swift is dating. I'm like, I don't care if she's dating some football player.
Joel's like, can it be me?
You don't gotta read about it. Just listen to her music. You'll find out in a year.
She is a train wreck.
He wants to date a football player?
No. Although, I did see
not while he's got his bill dogs.
I did see a news story about there is, for the San Francisco Giants, they're interviewing a woman to be the manager. I guess it doesn't really matter as long as she's a coach. You know. But.
It's not really going to make watch football any more than I do now.
Or baseball.
Or sports, well, other than hockey.
Joe's like, go sports ball.
Pretty much. Wait, there are sports other than hockey?
Yeah, well, there's field hockey and ice hockey.
But there's lacrosse, which is very similar to hockey.
On a high level.
There's a new Wolf Pit video.
Which one?
Did Walmart stop carrying Gordon Ramsay's frozen dinner?
Yeah, somebody was telling me about it. They said they purchased one, but they hadn't tried it yet.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it would be.
Like, Gordon Ramsay just sold out there. I mean, you can't call that anything else.
I've had multiple friends that when they went to Washington, D.C., they tried... There's a restaurant that he has there, a fish and chip place. And I'm like, that could be good.
I like fish and chips. I mean, it's pretty hard to mess up fish and chips.
Well, you know, my prime way.
Apparently it's frozen dinner, dude.
But it's frozen dinner. Of course it's going to taste like shit.
Well, yeah. Low quality meat.
Although Guy Fieri's
the sweet and sour really pulled pork one.
Got rave reviews from the Wolf Pit.
I like some of the newer stuff he's done where he's brought things he's made. Some of those are pretty good. So that and, that's a 7-year-old video. He did bacon cheeseburger in a can.
I don't remember that.
Where you tried one? Because I know they make those.
I want to actually try one. I know it'll be awful, but...
I have this one thing, self-respect, I'm not eating cheeseburger in a can.
So it was the sweet and sour...
You don't have to, just watch the video.
He doesn't say you don't have to.
Did he say it was whole?
I'm sure he did.
I vaguely remember the video, I do not remember the end of it, so...
Did
he say it was horrible?
Did he say what?
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah.
It was not good.
He
didn't rate it very high, I think.
You ever watch Ashens?
I watched somebody that did a video with a canned burger.
Yeah, Ashens. Stuart Ashens. He's the guy that has the brown sofa. Had the brown sofa. I think he got rid of it. Or bought a new one.
Dave's got
to get caught up on the Wolf Pit. There's three I haven't watched yet.
Oh.
Like the one on the...
You handing out candy?
Yes. I actually have to go buy it yet. I didn't buy it yet because I was afraid I'd eat
it. Thank you for reminding me. I have to make sure the wife goes and buys candy.
Yep.
We get.
I gotta buy.
About you, Dave?
I gotta buy.
Will you just hang? You just put a. You just hang out your window with a shotgun and shoot at the kids.
Dave like, has, the unattended bowl, and it's all Smarties, and not the good kind.
Necco wafers.
We did have a pot-belly pig show up in my yard last week.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
did somebody make good dinner?
No, now, my wife was trying to make a bet out of it.
Are you friends with Steven Von Nichols?
I've met him, but
right.
You don't name dinner.
Yeah, on his Facebook page, he's posted footage from his camera in Asheville, North Carolina, where he lives. And he has had a family of bears visit his house.
We've got bears here.
Yep.
Wild boars.
We do too.
Love my kids. They named the rabbits that are out in the yard. And one of them is dinner.
I was going to say.
One of them is peanut butter. One of them's jelly. One of them's Target Mart. They know what animals are for when they come in the yard.
Dinner.
I'll make this a quick story. When I was about five, my dad used to put out rabbit gums. Y'all know what that is? It's a wooden rabbit trap, and you put like an apple in the back, and it's got a wooden door.
Yeah.
We would catch rabbits, and we'd eat them. But I was probably five. My brother and sister were three and four.
Wait, you said rabbits or rats?
Rabbits.
No, we didn't eat rats.
Anyway, my dad caught one, and this is one of the first ones that he let us see. We were in the dining room. He was coming up the backyard with a rabbit in his hand. I was out in the backyard. All three of us, you know, three, 4, and 5 years old, lined up in front of him on our knees, looking at this rabbit he's holding. And my sister's done gave a name. My brother's petting it. And then my dad says, "All right, step back a minute." And then he pulls out a piece of firewood behind his back and hits it over the head. And we ate it that night.
I knew it was going there.
Oh, that's messed up.
Did you eat it with the tears in your eyes?
I knew it was going there.
Did you eat it with tears in your eyes?
No. He's a weird guy. I mean, whenever we ate hamburger, he'd call it dead cow.
Dead cow.
Fried chicken was dead chicken. You know, he wanted us to know where food came from. To go out and cut. He pretended that when he'd go cut down a Christmas tree, he'd go out in the woods by himself. He'd fire a shotgun and then tree back like he killed it.
Sounds like an interesting guy.
Yeah.
You know what it was, Dave? He's a redneck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait. When your kids were young and they believed in Santa Claus, you didn't call dinner Santa and say that's why you don't see him the rest of the year.
No.
My dad hunted squirrel. My dad hunted squirrel when he was a kid.
I hunted squirrel.
Yeah.
One last question, Dave. Was that a domesticated or a wild pig?
Somebody said that it had gotten loose.
It reminds me of my time in South Korea.
Yeah.
Where you'd see what was obviously like somebody's pet dog that had gotten loose and was wandering around. It was Pampered, the one that I saw, and you know, just long, luxurious, well taken care of. I saw the dog, and I'm like, yeah, somebody's dog got loose. And then 15 minutes later, I saw the dog again.
Yeah.
A wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Because somebody was taking it home for dinner.
I had a buddy that lived in the Philippines for a little while, and he said they have eaten dogs and they have pet dogs. They don't eat the pets.
Well, yeah, they also had like whole butcher shops that were like dedicated to dogs. So you go by his butcher shop and you'd see all the skinless dogs hanging from the ceiling.
So a wet market.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right, I'm gonna play us out. That's your Halloween discussion.
There you go.
Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you in November. So here it are your promos.
Short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it from young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. I must say, did they announce the Hacker Public Radio New Year show yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I'll talk to Honky next week on Friday.
Honky Boo.
Yeah, and see if he knows anything about it.
I haven't done a show for them for years. I don't even know why I'd cord one on. I do know I'm going to be ordering a Flipper Zero before too much longer.
Why?
Because I want to fuck with it.
And do what with it, I'm asking?
I want to see if I can crash my iPhone. There actually is a problem with iOS 17.
What's a Flipper Zero?
It basically RF hack
tool. It used to be like really, really cheap, and then people found out you could do interesting things with it, and the price shot through the roof because they were talking about banning it on Amazon.
Oh, it already is banned on Amazon, and it's actually only $169.
Yeah, for a while there, it was like $250.
In another website, they actually have them in stock.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get both the Zero and they have the Wi-Fi breakout board, but just get the base one first and then get that later, because that Wi-Fi breakout board's an additional $30.
So it's a single board computer.
Not exactly.
Okay, yeah. I just heard Flipper Z. It sounds like a flip phone or something.
No, it's smaller than a flip phone, but it's got like buttons and a little mini screen and a micro SD card slot.
Okay.
I don't think it quite qualifies as an SBC.
It's in the chat, the mobile chat.
Okay.
Yeah, it has a grayscale. It kind of looks like a Tamagotchi, all right, but it's not that.
Yeah,
I've seen this.
Okay, yeah. So I want to mess around with it, especially I want to see if there. Yeah. You have to load a custom firmware that. But once you load that, you can basically do like a Bluetooth exploit, and it actually crashes an iPhone, the running iPhone. iOS 17.
So I found this site, 7 things that you can do with it. You can test car key fobs. You can read, save, and emulate an NFC. You can unlock RFID tags and cards.
Yep.
Bypass Sentry Safe Security. So.
Yep. There's a lot of things. That's just touching the surface.
Yeah. Universal infrared remote control, which is interesting. I'll grant that. Automating scripts in a variety of platforms, it says. So, like, you can do.
Like, I'd like to walk into the gym some morning, casually hit pointed at the TVs and turn them all off. Like,
it's a sonic screwdriver.
It can be.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. What do you think of that?
Next month, 60th anniversary.
Yeah. My youngest daughter's looking forward to that because she thinks David Tennant's the only good doctor. But
November 29th, is it?
Yeah, it's late November. Something like that. But that's because she obviously hasn't seen Sean Pertwee.
And then December 2nd is something else.
You have to show her some Sean Pertwee.
I've tried. She's got a block. Hard-headed.
Like, everybody screams about Tom Baker, Tom Baker, Tom Baker. No, Sean Pertwee.
That's a quarter pound of meat that goes in there.
So you didn't stuff a dill dog down that throat of yours?
No, I had it. A pizza cone was probably the weirdest one I ate.
That literally a waffle cone with pizza in it? What is it?
Actually, you know what? You're not far off.
It was pumpkin pizza. Come on.
No. It was basically like a bready like cone. And it did feel almost exactly like an ice cream cone, but definitely not sweet in flavor. And then stuff full of pepperoni and cheese and stuff like that all cooked in there. Oh, it was pretty decent.
I had some baozi last night. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Bao?
It's bao, except it's, you know, pizza flavored.
That actually sounds pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't even know what that is.
Have you ever had
another
bowls?
Type of dumpling.
Okay, well, my youngest daughter was, we went grocery shopping tonight. She wanted some pot stickers, Chinese dumplings, and of course we were getting the frozen ones, and I saw a brand that was Bao something, so I was,
yeah.
Baozza.
I do know what it is now. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
That might be something I might have to check out.
It's quite tasty.
Yeah.
Like a moist Hot Pocket.
I don't put out regularly. I don't put it at all. I haven't had.
Does that upset
regular.
Your wife?
She don't care.
Yeah. Joe's penis don't work anymore, right?
No, it does work, but. Yeah.
It fell off at OLF. Murph took it
the
home
thing,
with him.
The thing is, like, we don't even have to worry about the worst problem of sex, kids, anymore, because she ain't going to have any more.
But you are, right? You out there playing the field? You making some more babies?
And you see?
No way. No way. I am done with that.
What's that, Dave?
I think I said planting the seed.
Planting.
Yeah, as much as he tried, he wasn't able to get Rich pregnant.
Rich, please. He's making his own firearms with his bamboo printer.
Well, he's been talking about that for a while. I'd love to hear how that's going.
I want to hear more about the printer because I've heard nothing but good about them, which is scary.
Super fast, and it's all set up to swap filaments.
Now, me, I need to double check how I have I swapped the other Sprite extruder hot end deal onto my printer. I haven't turned it on since, but I just need to make sure that everything's wired correctly onto the thing. When you buy a replacement extruder combo hot end, it doesn't ship with, there's a circuit board that goes on the back of it. It doesn't ship with that. That's a separate thing. So, but I did manage to clean up the other one, so I should be able to have the thing back up and rolling. I just haven't gotten around to it lately. I was so, you know, with me on vacation last week, I was just relaxing and not doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dave does, except for when his grandkids are over.
Yeah, I mean, the last vacation I took, I didn't even want to mess around with electronics. I just wanted to take a break.
I sat on the couch and I binged watched shit. When I wasn't at the pumpkin show or the gym. I think tomorrow, before I start work, I might cook my dinner, make some chili, and throw it in a crock pot and let it go all day. That way, when I get ready to finish up the better part of the work day, because I'm on call till 8 p.m. every damn day this week, and also during the weekend and Monday. No, I'm on call till the 31st, the rest of the month.
just till 8 p.m.?
Just till 8 p.m., yeah. Well, that's until, like, they had Dashara this week over in India, and next month they're having Diwali, which I have a 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift in that. At least I don't have the middle of night stuff. I can easily go to bed at 2 and then wake up about 7 and be okay. Tired, but okay.
The Citibank near me is hiring again.
What, you gonna try and go there?
I don't know. I mean, they're offering $75 an hour.
Damn.
But 6-month contract.
Oh. Alright.
Plus, I hear they're not the greatest to work for.
Yeah. So who, Citibank?
Yes. Urban.
I believe my my brother-in-law is a VP somewhere there.
Cool.
But he lives up here and works up here.
All right, we ready to start the show? Because Dave's all about the business, man.
Go for it.
You don't want to be hanging around talking about dildos and pickles.
Blah.
And Murph making off with Joel's manhood. Come on. Come on.
Please.
Come on. Where is Murph, man? He didn't show up.
He's busy making his wife happy.
How it works just fine, but his wife doesn't want to use it.
His what?
His wife doesn't want to use it.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is 1,024. No, we should have had 2 years away from that, I think. Close. All right, here we go. You ready, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, look at that.